Two portions of Scripture, one in the Old Testament, one in the New. I'm going to ask you to find Psalm 23 and put a bookmarker there. Psalm 23. And then I'm going to ask you to find John chapter 10 in the New Testament. John chapter 10. We'll go there first to John 10. All righty. I think all of us know Psalm 23 in the context of that psalm. Can you say the first part with me? The Lord is my what? Shepherd. Good. David is boasting of how wonderful it is to belong to the good shepherd. And he's, of course, speaking metaphorically. He's the sheep. The Lord is the shepherd. I want you to go to John 10 in verse 11. Jesus reveals who that shepherd is of Psalm 23. And he says, I am the good shepherd. So Christ here is revealing who the shepherd is in Psalm 23. And he says, that's me. Psalm 23 is talking about me, guys. Hey, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And then notice he said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, let's get the context of that statement, and I want you to go back up to verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. That's interesting. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But look at this. Notice what the good shepherd says. I am come that they might have what, church? Life. And that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Can I just brag on my shepherd a little bit? And can I just tell you something? There is nothing like being in the care of the good shepherd. There is nothing like being in his care. You see, my good shepherd gave his life on the cross so that I could be part of his sheepfold. That's the kind of shepherd I want to be in control of my life. A shepherd who would lay down his life for me so that I could have life. Man, I tell you what, I can rest in the care of a shepherd like that. I can rest in his care like a baby in its mother's arms when I have a shepherd who will actually give his life for me that I might have life. Why would I want to graze on the barren, burn-up pastures of Satan in this world system? Why would I want to give my life to be in control of this world system of Satan when I can be in the care of the good shepherd? And you know, if you've never yielded control of your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never just turned your life over to Him, isn't it about time that you do that? You say, Pastor Dan, why should I give Christ control? In Psalm 23, if you'll flip over there now to Psalm 23, he's going through this psalm and he's boasting of the benefits of being when the good shepherd is in control. And if you look down there at verse number 3, he's going to give us two more reasons why Christ should be in control of our life. And he says here, if you'll read it with me, let's all read verse 3 together. You ready? He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I want us to draw from that verse two principles this morning. And I want these principles to really be burned into your heart today. The first one is this. I need to give Christ control because the good shepherd is there to pick us up when we fall. The good shepherd is there to pick us up when we fall. The circumstances of life can knock you down. Have you ever noticed that? Job made this statement in Job 14:1. He said, man that is born of woman. And I'm going to do a poll this morning. How many of you in here are born of a woman? Raise your hand. Some of you didn't raise your hand. Do we have aliens here this morning? All right, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Now, that's a little cynical, I know, Job's saying, but you know what? Let me tell you something. Trouble is a part of life. And if you don't have any in your life right now, buckle your seatbelt, you know, because trouble is a part of life. It just is. I was reminded of that Friday night. We got back from Poplar Bluff, Missouri, preaching a missions conference. Came in Friday night. My sons wanted to go to an activity that we were having, a church activity at the go-kart track that night. We went to the go-kart track to race go-karts, thinking, oh, just 2 hours of fun, you know. I'm out there racing with them, you know. And I look. I'm making my last lap. I look to see one of the attendants at the go-kart track with one of my sons in his arm carrying him from the go-kart like this off the track. My heart just sunk, you know. And he cut his, you know, up here his eye. And so we end up at the emergency room of the hospital 2 hours after we got back from Missouri. And man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Amen. But, you know, life can knock you down. But did you know that sheep can be cast down? Now remember, David's a shepherd. He's writing this. There's an old English term for a sheep that's been turned over on its back and it can't get up on its own. And that's called a cast sheep. And what happens is the sheep are out there in the pasture, okay? And they're out there feeding. And when they feel really relaxed, what they'll do is they'll kind of relax. And sometimes what they'll do, they'll get in a rut. You know, it's kind of cooler. And they'll get down in a rut. And what they'll do is they'll get so comfortable that they'll lay down. And then they'll stretch it. Oh! And they roll down in the rut. And then you know what happens? Or just like this. And Brother Steve, you're not going to get down with me? Okay. And so they're like this. And this is going to be on video tomorrow morning. I'm going to try to get up. I'm sore from go-karting too. But anyway, he gets on his back. I got a picture here. I'll give you an idea. This may be better than me doing it. Let's bring a picture up here. Yeah, there we go. And that's better than me, isn't it? That's a cast sheep right there. See, he's on his back and he can't get up on his own. His feet are up in the air. Got another picture here. And let's go to the next one. There's the next one. See him out there in the field? Isn't that pathetic? And it is pathetic. Because what they do is they lie on their back, their feet are up in the air, and they're just frantically doing this number, you know, and they can't get up. Sometimes they'll bleat for help, but generally it just lies there in frustration, unable to help itself. And here's the deal. If the shepherd does not arrive, if the shepherd doesn't come on the scene within a reasonable amount of time, if it's hot and it's a sunny day, literally within 2 hours, that sheep could be dead when they're cast like that. And of course, they're prey to wild animals and everything else. And so this is why the shepherd keeps track of his sheep. And if there's one missing, off he goes because he figures that sheep's cast somewhere. And so off he goes to try to hunt and to try to find this sheep and restore that sheep. Remember, look at verse 3. What does the first part say? He what? You see where the shepherd king is going with this? He restoreth my soul. Off the shepherd goes to try to find that sheep that's cast down somewhere. How many of you remember the parable about the 99 sheep in the fold? And now that parable means more to you when you see that picture right there. Doesn't that parable kind of come alive when you see that picture, that cast sheep? And the shepherd says, I got 99, but where's the 100th one? Where's the one sheep that's gone? And off the shepherd goes in that parable to try to find that sheep that may be cast somewhere. And he says there's great joy, when he finds that sheep and restores him back to the fold. And as you look at that picture right there and you contemplate a sheep on its back, frantically trying to get back on its feet, I wonder if that maybe pictures you this morning. Or does that picture you at times in your life? As you look into the Bible, if that describes you, you got some pretty good company. Because David knew what it was to be a cast sheep. David knew what it was to be defeated. Moses, the great leader of Israel, spent 40 years on the backside of a desert tending sheep before he ever did anything for God. Daniel just wanted to pray and serve God, and he ended up in a lion's den. He didn't know how the story was going to end. Samuel is one of the godliest men in the Bible. Samuel is one of those guys in the Bible where the Bible really doesn't have anything bad to report about him. But Samuel, his sons were wicked. And they broke his heart. They broke his heart. Samuel knew what it was to be a cast sheep. The Apostle Paul, who gave us 13 books of the New Testament, to us, the body of Christ, Paul wrote more books of the New Testament than any other author. He knew what it was to be a cast sheep. In fact, look in your handout and look what he wrote. He said in 2 Corinthians 4, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken." And what are the next two words? Say it with me. Cast down, but not destroyed. Hey, if Paul was like that, if Paul said, "We're cast down, but we know we're not destroyed," how could he say that? It's because he knew he was in the care of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. And when we find ourselves like that, when we find ourselves cast down, Jesus stands ready to restore. David said, "He restoreth my soul." In your handout, it says, sometimes Christ will work through another brother or sister to restore us. Sometimes He'll work through a brother or sister in Christ when we're cast down. There's a verse that, after you write that in there, if you'll look at the screen, there's a great verse in Galatians 6:1 that says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual," what's the next word? There's that word, "restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." That word "restore" there means it carries the idea of setting a broken bone. And I think we all have times in our lives when we feel like a cast sheep. And that's where the local church is so crucial. You know, when we had our last membership meeting, we had a big crowd there. And a lot of folks will be presenting for membership in a few weeks. And that's a great decision. Because, you see, whenever you feel like a cast sheep, this is where the local church kicks in. This is where the local church is crucial. This is where it's very important that you have a group of people in your life that love you and that care about you. Many of you in here could stand up right now and you could give testimony that you were as a cast sheep and a fellow believer, maybe in a life group or here at the church, they came and they picked you up and they set you back on your feet. You know what that was? That was Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, working through them in your life. Local church is important. It's important that you have a church family because we all get to be like cast sheep sometimes. We need someone who will love us unconditionally. And you know, there's another way that the Lord works, though, in your handout. It says sometimes Christ will just take His word. When we're out of joint, we're cast down, we feel defeated, we feel discouraged, Christ will take His word and He'll use it to restore our soul. You know what I think of when I think of His word? And I think about that, restoring cast sheep. My mind goes back to Peter, one of the 12 disciples. And I think about right before the cross, right before Jesus died on the cross, they asked Peter, they said, "Aren't you with Jesus?" And old Peter, the fisherman, that old fisherman's language came back. And he began to curse. He began to swear. And he began to say, "I don't know the man." And he denied the Lord 3 times. After Jesus died on the cross and made atonement for our sin, He rose from the dead the 3rd day. Jesus came back to talk to Peter. And He didn't come to Peter and with a scowl on His face and with a frown and just ripping Peter and just talking mean to him and how could you do this and blah, blah, blah. No, He came to Peter and He said, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know I love you." And I'm sure Peter waited to see what He would say next. "How could you love me after what you did? How dare you say you love me?" No. What did He say? "Peter, feed my sheep." And He asked him again, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep." And then a 3rd time, "Peter, are you sure you love me?" "Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep." Do you know what He was saying when He said, "Feed my sheep"? He was saying, "Peter, I'm not done with you. I'm going to restore you to a place of useful service. You still got a work for me to do, Peter. Feed my sheep." And boy, old Peter did it too, didn't he? Peter ended up doing some great things for the Lord after Christ came and restored him through his word. I think about the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. And boy, old Jeremiah was preaching to Israel that they needed to repent. They needed to come back to God. They needed to get the sin out of their life. And boy, old Jeremiah knew what it was to be cast down. In fact, he said in Jeremiah 20, verse 7, "Everyone mocked me." He said, "I'm out there preaching for God, and everybody mocked me." And then old Jeremiah had a little bit of a pity party. Have you ever had a pity party? And Jeremiah had a pity party, and I'm going to bring it up on the screen here from Jeremiah 28. He said, "For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil." In other words, I said what you told me to say. He said, "Because the word of the Lord," he said, "was made a reproach unto me," and he said, "a derision daily." That word derision means a laughing stock. He said, "I'm out there preaching your word and I'm nothing but a laughing stock." And then look at the next verse. You talk about a pity party. "Then I said, I'll not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name." Jeremiah, you know what he's saying, don't you? "I'm done. I'm done with this preaching stuff. I'm through with it. I'm done with it. I'm tired of being mocked. I'm tired of nobody listening to me. I'm tired of being made a laughing stock." You know what he was, don't you? He was a cash sheep. Do you ever get discouraged? Maybe to help you, if I confess, I do. I get discouraged sometimes. You know, sometimes I feel like a cash sheep, but I love what God's word did. Can you look at the rest of the verse? He said, "I'm not going to speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing." In other words, I got tired of holding it in, and I could not stay. Jeremiah said, "I couldn't keep from speaking. I tried. I said I wasn't going to do it anymore, but his word was in me as a burning fire in my bones." And basically what he's saying is, I couldn't keep my mouth shut. Have you ever felt like there was nobody to help you? Do you ever feel all alone? You know, the Apostle Paul knew what that was like. The great Apostle Paul said, "At my first answer," in other words, when I stood trial for things I hadn't done, when he said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." But you know what the next verse says? "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." When nobody else would stand with Paul and he felt like a cast sheep, there was the Lord to strengthen him and stand with him. There's a lot of reasons why we find ourselves like a cast sheep on our backs doing this. Can't get on our own feet. There's a lot of reasons why it happens in our life. Sometimes it's just discouragement. Sometimes it's sin. Sometimes it's not necessarily sin, it's just bad choices we've made. We just made some really bad choices. Sometimes it's not sin or bad choices. Sometimes it's not our fault at all. Sometimes we feel like cast sheep. Sometimes we find ourselves cast down just because of the trials of life. It's just life. It's just the world we live in. But I can tell you this, regardless of why you may be a cast sheep, I can assure you of this. Christ cares for you. You say, "How do you know, Pastor?" Don't take my word for it. Look at the screen. 1 Peter 5, 7. You can cast all your care upon Him, upon Christ. Why? Say it with me. "For He careth for you." Do you believe that? He cares for you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never give up on you. Christ specializes in restoring cast sheep. He loves to take cast sheep and restore them in heart and soul. You know, whenever a sheep finds itself like that, I don't know what you picture when the shepherd finally does arrive on the scene, but one shepherd said, that whenever one of his sheep were cast, he would just go out searching, and when he could see it off in a distance, his heart would start beating and racing. He'd run as fast as he could because every minute was precious. And he said that you know, he was filled with joy because he found it, but scared because he didn't know if maybe it'd be dead when he got there. But he would get there, and when the shepherd would get there, you know what? He did not look at the sheep and kick it and say, "Get back up on your feet, you stupid sheep." He never did that. You know what he said he'd do? He said what he would do is he'd kneel down beside the sheep and he would gently roll the sheep over on its side. And then he would stand the sheep up on its feet, all the while talking gently and talking, you know, kind to the sheep. And he said then he would begin, because the circulation was gone in the legs, he would begin to massage the legs gently. And he said then he would kind of see if the sheep could walk. And he said typically after it had been cast for a while, it would walk like this. It'd wobble, you know, wobble. And he said then he'd massage it some more, caress and massage those legs. And then pretty soon, off it would go to join the other sheep. When you find yourself cast, like Peter did, you know what? I don't know what you picture Christ to be, but Christ is not some ogre that comes to you with a frown on his face and a scowl and just hollering and yelling and mad. I want you to know something today, church. Christ cares for you. And he's the good shepherd. And he loves to restore cast sheep. And number two, the last thought I want to give you is this. The second reason why you need to give Christ control is the good shepherd leads us on to new heights. The good shepherd leads us on to new heights. I'm going to give a direct quote from a shepherd. And he said this, "Sheep are notorious creatures of habit. If left to themselves, they'll follow the same trails until they become ruts. They'll graze on the same hills until they are desert wastes. They will pollute their own ground until it's corrupt with disease and parasites." And for that reason, the shepherd said that the sheep must be kept on the move. He said it's crucial to their well-being. The shepherd has to make sure that he's constantly leading the sheep to new ground. He said this is really the single most important aspect of shepherding, is you've got to constantly be exploring new pastures and you've got to be leading the sheep into new heights and new ground. And that's precisely what the shepherd king David had in mind when he wrote Psalm 23. Look at the end of verse 3. He said, "He leadeth me." Remember, he's the sheep. "The good shepherd leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Can I share a thought with you this morning? Jesus Christ, and listen closely, Jesus Christ loves you so much that he will save you. He will redeem you. He will forgive you of your sins. He will make you a child of God right where you are, in whatever condition you may find yourself in. You don't have to clean yourself up and then come to Jesus. You don't have to come to church for 6 weeks straight and then come to Jesus. You don't have to get some religion and then come to Jesus. You don't have to get all the sin straightened out and taken out of your life and then come to Jesus and think, "Okay, now I'm worthy to be saved." No, you come to Jesus just as you are. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So you can come just as you are, and Christ will save you. He will welcome you into his flock if you'll trust him just as you are right now. But, he loves you so much that he loves you too much to leave you in the same condition that you came to him in. He'll take you in whatever condition you're in, but he loves you too much to leave you in that condition. He won't leave you in the same broken down condition that he found you in when you got saved. Remember the story of the maniac of Gadara? Remember the maniac? He was running around in the tombs, cutting himself with rocks. Brother Larry, he was hollering in the night. and he was running around naked, and then they try to bind the guy, and he'd bust the chains. Well, this guy wasn't always that way. According to Jesus, the guy had friends at one time. He said, go home to your friends. The guy had a home. The guy had friends. He had people that loved him and cared about him. But he just got himself in a mess. He found himself in bondage to the devil. And he's running around in bondage to Satan. And Jesus Christ loved the guy and he came to him. Did Jesus love him in that condition? Yes or no? Absolutely. But once Jesus saved him, did he say, okay, now you're a saved maniac. Go on back to cutting yourself and running around in the tombs. Just have a big time because you're a saved maniac now. Did he do that? He loved him too much to leave him. Was he willing to take him in that condition? But was he going to leave him in that condition? No. You know what the Bible says when the people came out to see what was going on? The Bible says they saw the man that was a maniac. He was sitting clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. God wants to lead you in paths of righteousness. He wants to take you to new ground. The problem is we tend to be like sheep. The problem is we tend to be kind of stubborn. We tend to be resistant to change. We want to cling to the same old habits that we've seen ruin other people's lives, maybe even our own. We want to cling to those same old habits that just destroy lives. We just want to keep grazing in the same old burn-up pastures. Is it any wonder that Isaiah 53:6, Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Turning to my own way means that I'm doing what I want to do. I do what I desire. But notice what Jesus, the good shepherd, said in your handout. John 10:9. Look at your handout. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, this is neat. This goes right along with what we're talking about leading in paths of righteousness. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find what? Pasture. Can I give you a statement in your handout? Jesus saves us, but then desires to lead us to green pastures where we can grow and be spiritually healthy. He wants to lead us down new paths, paths of righteousness. But many times, guess what? I don't want to enter in. I don't want to be led down new paths of righteousness. I want to do things my way. I know better. I know what's fun. I know what's enjoyable. I know what's going to help me the most. And instead of wanting to let him lead me to this new heights and new ground where the pasture is green and good and healthy and to help me grow. No. I want it my way. And so I keep grazing on the same old land till it finally leads to our destruction. When you get saved and you come to Jesus, at that very moment, God puts his Holy Spirit inside of you. And you know what the Holy Spirit does when he comes to live inside of you? He begins to lead you down a different path. I said he begins to lead you down a different path. Let me give you an example. Look at what the Bible says about the Corinthian believers. Now, before they were saved, they were pagan idolaters. And look what it says. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were what? Led. They were just being led down, you know, the world system, the world's sin. They were just being led down these paths. And then look what the Bible says in Romans 8. And it says, once you're saved, now all of a sudden, someone else is in charge. And it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, the Holy Spirit comes in to begin leading you down a different path. Do you know how God's Holy Spirit leads you in paths of righteousness today in this time period? Do you know how the Holy Spirit leads you in paths of righteousness? Look in your handout, Ephesians 6:17. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So what is the sword of the Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit use in my life? What is it? Which is the Word of God. Paul said, all Scripture, all this book right here, it's all given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed, and it's profitable, and he said it's able to to take you and throughly furnish you unto all good works. The Holy Spirit does this. Now, a loving shepherd has to, you know what he has to do a lot with sheep? He's got to cut away the old wool. Because the old wool begins to weigh down the sheep. And you know what happens when they're weighted down? Do you know who's the most susceptible? Remember me down there like that? I'm not going to do that again, all right? But you remember like that? You know who's the most susceptible? A heavy, fat sheep that it's just full of wool. So the sheep has to come and cut away that wool because that wool gets matted with mud and manure and with burrs and other debris. So what happens is, just like the shepherd has to cut away that old wool, here's what happens. The Holy Spirit takes this book, takes God's Word, and begins to cut away that which is only going to hinder us and cause us to be cast sheep. And here's the deal, and this is why you hear me talk about this, and this is why it's so important that you start thinking out of the box beyond just Sunday morning, and start thinking of a life group, start thinking of Sunday evening and Wednesday evening, and getting in the Word every day. Because here's the key. In your handout, it says, as you yield to Christ, and as you begin to take in and digest God's Word, the Holy Spirit begins to transform and change you, and to take you down paths of righteousness that you could have never dreamed. And you know what happens? All of a sudden you look back on your life, and I've had this happen where I look back to what I was a year or two ago, and you look back and you go, wow, man, I'm not the same person I was a year ago. And have you ever noticed with kids that you don't notice that they're changing when you see them every day? You don't notice them changing until you look at a picture from maybe a year ago. And you say, whoa, my kid's growing up. We don't really notice how much we change until we look at a picture, you know, from the past. And then we go, you know. And can I submit to you, it's the same way in the Christian life. When you are growing, you really don't see the changes. You really don't see on a daily basis how much you've changed. Until you look back to what you were a year or two ago, and then you think, wow, man, God's changed me. It's like a fella, I was up in Poplar Bluff preaching at missions conference, and a guy came up to me, probably in his 30s, had a wife and some kids, and his name was Brian. And he came up to me, I believe, on Monday night, and he said, Pastor Dan, I just want you to know how much the messages have meant to me. And he said, you know, he said, about 2 years ago, he said, I've been in and out of church, inconsistent, unfaithful. I'd get in and be all on fire, and then I'd get away. Then I'd come back and get all on fire, and then I'd get away. I was just in and out. And he said, I did this for years. And he said, a couple years ago, I really decided that I wanted to grow. And he said, the Lord's been doing a great work in my life. And he said, he's changing me. And he said, I'm really growing. He was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night at the missions conference. So I asked my brother, it really intrigued me. I said, hey, Steve, he's the pastor there, my brother Steve. I said, Steve, there's a guy that came up to me named Brian right away. He said, oh, yeah, I know who that is. I said, man, he really seems hungry for the Word. He said, let me tell you about him. He said, Brian called the church office 2 years ago out of the blue. I think my brother said his wife answered the phone. Nancy answered the phone. And Brian said to her, this is all he said, didn't want to talk to a pastor. He said, hey, I just want to let y'all know. He said that I've decided to really get committed and be faithful. And he said, I want to grow. And he said, I just want you to know I'm tired of playing games and I'm tired of just, he said, I just want you to know me and my family are going to be committed from now on. Well, my brother's thinking, oh boy, have I heard that before, you know. You do. You hear that a lot in the ministry. People are in crisis mode, and you hear that, you know. They're in a crisis. Oh, I'm going to be faithful, you know, and then a month later, they're gone again. And so, you know, you kind of learn to just wait and see. Steve said, but let me tell you something. Whatever it was took a hold, because he said it's been 2 years. He said he's here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Said he is just hungry for the Word of God. And God is changing this man. And I guarantee you, he's going to look back and he's going to say, wow, look how much I've changed. You say, why does the good shepherd do this? Why does he change us? Why does he transform us? Why does he lead us in paths of righteousness if we'll let him? Does he do it so that we can pridefully boast and say, oh boy, look how I've changed. Oh boy, look how good I am. Is it so we can boast of what we've accomplished? No, I want you to look at the end of verse 3. Psalm 23:3, and I want you to see why he does it. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, say it with me, for his name's sake. Now look up at me and I'm done. Here's the goal. Here's what he's trying to accomplish in your life. Here's the goal. You ready? The goal is that he wants your life. He wants your life to reflect the person, the power, and the glory of your shepherd, Jesus Christ. What he's doing in your life, he's doing it for his name's sake, so that you may better glorify him as you were intended to do. And whenever the shepherd would open up new pastures, whenever the shepherd would lead the sheep into brand new green pastures, do you know what the sheep would do? The sheep are so filled with excitement when they hit that new ground, they'll literally kick up their heels and they'll leap with delight. In fact, I've got a few pictures here. Look at the one up in the air there. Look at the one way over there. Look at him leaping up in the air. Look at this one. Look at the next picture. Woo! Look at there. Man, they get excited when the shepherd leads them onto new ground. This next one really tickles me. Check this one out. Look at that. At first, when I saw that picture, I thought he was on top of the other ones. He's up in the air. And the sheep just leap with excitement. Now, look, they may not like leaving the old ground that they're comfortable in. They're creatures of habit. But once they're led to new ground, nothing can compare to it. And I wonder today, are you a cast sheep? Maybe you feel cast down. In your handout, it says the good shepherd stands ready to help. And maybe you're just stagnant. You've been on the same old ground. Isn't it time to let the good shepherd lead you to new heights? Let him lead you to new ground. Let him lead you in those paths of righteousness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, I want to ask this question. Christian, do you feel cast? The good shepherd stands ready to help and restore you if you'll let him. He'll take his word and he'll restore you. Maybe you're here today and maybe you're a believer, but you've been stagnant. You've been on the same old ground for quite a while now, and there hadn't been much growth. There hasn't been much change. Will you yield to the shepherd right now? Will you be like that guy I talked about in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, and just say, I'm at a crossroads today, and on September 20th, 2009, I'm making a decision. I'm going to let the shepherd lead me to new heights. I'm going to get serious, and I'm going to be committed. I'm going to be totally committed to my Savior. And I'm going to let Him grow me. I'm just going to see what God will do in my life. Let the Good Shepherd work.